Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Pei Zayin. Begin 3 lines down with the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of this parak of Kis Hadam, the obligation when someone slaughters a chaya, a wild animal, or a oif, or a bird, to cover its blood. So the Mishnah says, Shachat v'le kisa, if someone slaughtered the animal and didn't cover its blood, v'ro'o achar, and someone else saw this, chaya v'lechasis, that other person has an obligation to cover the blood. Now, says the Mishnah, let's say kiso v'nisgala. Let's say someone covered the blood with earth, and then it got uncovered. So patur melechasis, he's exempt from covering it. Now, says the Mishnah, kiso haruach, let's say the wind covered it. Chayav lechasis, there's still an obligation on the individual to cover its blood. Now, the Gemara explains the opening halacha by Mishnah by quoting a brisa. Tanabon learned a brisa. The pasuk says, v'shafach, the person who spills the blood, meaning through slaughtering, v'kisa, and then he covers its blood, which teaches us, it's continuing the pattern of b'shafach v'chisa on that individual, misha shafach v'chisa, the one who spills the blood, the one who slaughters, he has the obligation of covering its blood. Now, says the b'raisa, but shachat v'likisa, what's if, let's say, the one who slaughters doesn't cover its blood, v'ro'o achar, but someone else sees it, minayin shachay v'chisa, how do we know that other, that spectator, is obligated to cover the blood? Shnemek, because the pasuk after that says, in the parish of Kis Adam, v'oimar levnei Yisrael, and I will tell to the Jewish people, this obligation, which azhar l'chol b'nei Yisrael, that this is an obligation, a warning regarding all the Jewish people, that they all have that obligation, even not just the one who did the slaughter. Now, moreover, on this pasuk, Tani Duch learned another b'raisim. As we said, the pasuk says, b'shafach, the one who spills the blood, and b'chisa, yes, to cover the blood. Says the b'raisa, what this is teaching us is, b'mashe shafach, with what he caused the blood to be spilled, meaning with his hand, which is what he used to slaughter the animal, bo yichasa, that's what's saying, b'shafach v'chisa, that uniformity, that with what he spilled the blood, is that part of him that should be used to cover the blood. Meaning, shalo yichasen b'regel, he should cover the blood with his hands, not with his feet, shalo yu mitzvahs b'zuis lov, that mitzvahs should not be degraded by him, because if one uses his feet to kick the dirt on the blood, it looks degrading, it should be done with the same hand that used to slaughter, it should be used to cover the blood. Tanin dechulit in another b'raisa, similar to the first b'raisa, b'shafach v'chisa, it says that he spills the blood, he has to cover the blood, which is misha shafach hu yichasena, the one who spills it has to cover it. Now, the first brisa said, as our Mishnah said, if he didn't, then all the Jewish people have to do it. But the obligation is primarily on the one who slaughtered. So as this brisa continues, Maisa be'echad sheshachat, there was an incident with someone who slaughtered an animal, v'kadam chaver v'chisa, and his friend went before the slaughterer got a chance to cover it, his friend went and covered it. V'chiv Reb Gamliel litin lo yud zehuvah, and Reb Gamliel obligated that friend, the one who covered it, to give to the slaughterer 10 golden coins because he made him lose out the reward of the mitzvah. Which the Gemara is going to ask now, is that the act that was the reward of the mitzvah, or the reward of the blessing that one makes on the bracha of Kis Adam? As the Gemara says, Ibailu, they had the following question. What was the golden coins payment for? Schar mitzvah, the reward of doing the action of the mitzvah of covering the blood, which he took away from his friend, that opportunity, which the obligation was primarily on the slaughterer. Ischar bracha, or was it the reward of the blessing which one makes on the bracha on Kis Adam, which daddy took away, and that's what the golden coins are for. Says Gemara L'may Nafkamina, what's the difference, which one it's for? It's l'birchas hamazon. It's if someone grabs away an opportunity from someone else to make the birchas hamazon, the benching, where in birchas hamazon there's four brachas in birchas hamazon. And then if someone grabs it away, he would actually have 40 golden coins. Because if you say that what he's taking away and that he has to compensate his friend is the reward of the mitzvah, it's one mitzvah. But if you say it's a reward of the blessing, there's four brachas, and it's not we don't consider just one mitzvah, we consider every single bracha, and then it would be an obligation of each bracha 10 golden coins, which would be 40. My, what's the halacha? Is it the action, maisa mitzvah, or is it the bracha of the mitzvah? Says Gemara, Tashma, come and here will prove the Amalei Ahu Mina l'Rebbe. There was a certain heretic that said to Rebbe that Misha Yatza Harim le'Baruach, he who formed the mountains didn't create the winds. Misha Baruach le'Yatza Harim, the one who created the winds, did not form the mountains, because the Chassidus says the pasuk in Amos, Ki hine Yatza Harim, because behold, he formed the mountains. Uvad Baruach, and he created the winds. So you see, different terminologies are used for the creation of the mountains versus the winds. Obviously, Chas Shalom, there's different creators. So Amalei, so Rebbe said to the heretic that Apikiris, Shaita, you're a fool. Shvil is safe in the Quran, look at the end of the verse. Hashem Tzavaka Shemai, Hashem the Lord of hosts is his name. So you see, it was all one that created, which all Hashem. So Amalei, so the heretic said to Rebbe, Nekoitli zimna tlasa yami. Give me time 3 days. Umadron alach tiyufta, and I'll return with a response to refute you. Now, Yosef Rebbe tlas tanisa. Rebbe fasted for those 3 days. Kabakabai miver, when he wanted to break his fast and eat, Amalei, so his family members said that minoy, that heretic that you had set a time for him, koyabava, he's by the doorway, he's back. So Amar, Rebbe said on himself this pasuk in Tehillim, which anytime a person reads Tehillim, a person should be seeing himself in those pasukim, the yidnu b'vereisi reish v'gaymer, which is that in my meal they've placed gall, they've placed bitter things, because here I am, I'm about to eat, and this guy's back, the one that I've been fasting the past 3 days. Now, ultimately, it turns out that it wasn't that same heretic. It was actually a different heretic who was coming to notify him regarding that first guy that he went up on his roof and he killed himself. And Amalei, he said to him, Rebbe Mevaser Toivas Anilach. He says, Rebbe, I'm not gall, I'm not bitter things for your meal. I'm coming to give you good tidings. Lematzeh Tshuva Yevecha, your enemy, your nemesis, didn't find a response. Nofel min hagag, mason, he fell from the roof and he killed himself. So Amalei, so Rebbe said to this heretic, do you want to eat my meal with me, which he was about to eat? And he said, yes. After they ate and they drank, so Rebbe said to him, I'm going to give you a choice. You want to drink from the Keshel Bracha, which is used for benching? Or do you want to take instead 40 golden coins, which is the reward for the four blessings, of which we answer Amen, and which one would you rather have? Which from here we see that idea that it's every bracha, not the ma'aseh mitzvah, and therefore the equivalent is 40 golden coins, not just 10. So the heretic said to him, Kisha bracha nishaysa, I'd rather drink from the cup of the blessing of the grace after meals. Now Yotza Baskava Amra, heavenly voice came out and said, Kisha bracha shavar bam zuhuvim, the cup of the benching is worth 40 golden coins. Now Amr Yitzchak, he says, Adayin yeshn lois mishpacha, that family of that one who gave the good tidings, that heretic, who had said to Rebbe the good tidings, that family is still around being Gedolei Rami, amongst the nobility of Rome. And they called its family Bar Leunis, and that is that relationship of the greatness he has, where he drank the Kesha Bracha, he gave the good tidings for Rebbe. But one thing we see, that's the Schar Bracha, and not just the Schar Mitzvah, and if from a benching would be 40 golden coins. Now the Mishnah had said, Kisov in the Skal, if someone covered the blood, and then they got uncovered, so he's exempt. Now, Amalei Rav Acha Berei de Rav or Rav Ashi asks, Maishna Mashavas Aveda? Why is this halacha different than the obligation when someone finds a lost object that he has to return it to its owner? Dama Mar, that the master says in Eilim Mitzis and Bab Mitzia Daf Lamed Alef Amud Aleph, says in the Pasuk, Hashiv Teshiv. The word Hashiv, to return, he says, is Afilim Eipam, is even 100 times. That's what the word Hashiv, return, even if the guy lost it again, you got to return it every single time. Now, teshivim is actually, we learn that from a different drasha. We don't learn from the word teshivim to say, oh, even many more times. No, hashiv itself means 100 times. Teshivim teaches us something else. So here also it says, v'chisa, that word that you have to cover it, should sound like even 100 times. So why, if it gets uncovered, are you exempt? Why is it different than the lachas of Hashavas Aveda? So Amalei, so on that he said back to him, hasam like siv miyuta. Thereby, Hashavas Aveda doesn't say an exclusionary terminology. So it says you have to return it even 100 times. Here it says in exclusionary terminology, it says v'chisa hu, you should cover it. Meaning, had it just said, like hashev, it would have said v'chisa, that would have sounded like, you should cover it. It should be covered at all times, even 100 times, even if it gets uncovered. But v'chisa hu, you should cover it, that's a singularity in exclusionary terminology to say this covering and not more. If it gets uncovered, then there's no more obligation. Now the Mishnah said, find halacha kiso haruch, if the wind had covered it, the person is still obligated to cover the blood. However, Amar Rabbi Bavachan Amar B'yechani qualifies this halach, and he says, Leishana el shachazim neskala. This obligation was only if it ultimately, the wind had covered it, and then it gets uncovered again. Then, the person who never fulfilled this obligation has to go ahead and cover it. Avaloichazim neskala, but if it didn't get re-uncovered, it's still covered from the wind, so patam alachazis. He's exempt from covering because it is covered now. There's no, he can't be covering it when there's nothing to cover. However, as to Gemara, but v'chichazav in his galam, I have it. But then what's the difference then when it gets uncovered? And that you're saying then he has to cover it. But you're saying when it's covered and there's no obligation. So then it was already rejected from the mitzvah of covering the blood, because when it was covered, you said then there's no obligation. So now when it gets uncovered, he should still be exempt from covering it because it was already rejected from that mitzvah when it was covered. Adam Rapap, he says, well, that tells us, although we know there's halacha of dichoy being rejected, obviously we don't say that halacha concept by mitzvahs. When do we say dicha that something is rejected? That's only invalidations by karbanis, as we find in the sechtes like smachim, where once it's dicha, it's rejected and doesn't come back again. But by mitzvahs, even though it's rejected when it's covered, but when it gets back uncovered again, and the person never did kis in the first place, then he's obligated. Now, says the Gemara, but a maishna mahaditanya. Now, why is this halacha different than what we learned in the Braisa, where it says, hasheichid v'nivla dam b'karka. If someone slaughters an animal, and the blood gets absorbed in the ground, chayiv l'chasos, he has to cover it, even though it wasn't uncovered again. It got absorbed into the ground. You see that if you didn't do it, even though it's not applicable anymore, because it's absorbed in the ground, you have to cover it. So why are we saying that when it got covered by itself, if it didn't get re-uncovered, you don't have to cover it, but here you see you do have to. So it's like, no, hasam kishur ishumi nikar. There, it's because the trace is still recognizable. You still see the blood, even though it got absorbed in the ground. That's you have to cover it. But if it got totally absorbed and there's nothing to cover, then you're right, it would be the same thing like what we're saying, that if it was covered, there's no obligation. It's only when there's chazav and there's gala, and you never fulfilled it, then you would have an obligation of covering. Mark continues with the next Mishnah, and continuing on these halachas of kisim. Damshin is tzarav b'mayim. Blood that gets mixed with water, I mean the blood that was slaughtered from a chayo or a knife, got mixed into water. Says the Mishnah, im yesh b'maris dam, if there's still the color of blood in that pool of water and blood, then chayv l'chasas, then it's still considered blood for this halacha of kisim. Now, I mean, you have to cover it. Now, let's say nesarav b'yayim. Let's say that blood gets mixed into wine, which is red, and you can't recognize if it has the color of blood anymore because it's all one red mixture anyway. So what you do is rayin aisai, you see that wine, ki'iluhu mayim, as if it was water, meaning in that quantity of blood that gets mixed into that wine, had that wine been water, the color of blood would have been recognizable, then there's an obligation to cover the blood in this situation too. Now, continues the Mishnah, nisarv b'dam ha-behema. Let's say the blood of the chay or the oif gets mixed into the blood of a domesticated animal where there is no obligation of covering its blood, and the majority of this mixture is the blood of the behema, as continued in Bay is oif b'dam ha-chaya. Or if let's say it gets mixed into the blood of a wild animal, not that was slaughtered, but let's say the bloodletting of a chaya, which that doesn't have an obligation either of kis adam. So says the Tanakhama, similar to the previous halacha, so rayi naisi, you see that blood which does not require being covered, ki'ilu hein mayim, as if they were water, and if the blood of the slaughtering of the chaya or the bird would have been recognizable in that quantity of water, so then in this thing which is also the same color as blood, it's going to still obligate you to cover its blood. Now, but Rabbi Huda, and that's why we separated the two cases, in this last case, when the blood that's obligated gets mixed in not obligated bloods, he says, in dam avatl dam, blood doesn't nullify blood. And therefore, even if the color of the blood from that which is obligating kisa dam would not be recognizable in the quantity of the blood of this behema, the dam of the chai is not batl, because he holds, min bin le batl. Something from the same species doesn't nullify. And therefore, since they're both blood, it doesn't nullify it, and therefore it's still there, even though you wouldn't recognize it, and therefore he's still obligated to do kisa dam. Now, continues the Mishnah, dam anitas, blood that spurts out of the pit where the person was slaughtering to keep the blood contained and blood spurts out, or vish ala sakin, that's on the knife itself that the slaughtering was done with, says the Tanakhama chayv l'chasas. You have to go ahead and cover that blood too. But on Rabbi Huda says, Emesai, when did we say this? That's bizman she'en sham dam elahu. If that's the only blood that we have left over, and therefore then you have to do the kisadam on that blood. But if there's other bloods besides that blood which spurted out or on the knife, then patam al-chasas, then you're exempt from covering those bloods. Now, the Gemara brings Tanhas and within the Mishnah in Masechta Zvachim, which is called Shchitas Kachim in Rashi terminology, which has the same halacha as we have in our Mishnah, but in the context of karbanas. The Mishnah says, damshin is arv b'mayim, blood that gets mixed with water. So, im yesh b'maris dam kasher, if that mixture still has a color of blood, then it's still valid for the zrika, for the throwing of that mixture as blood, which is done on the mizbeach from a carbon. Now, nesar b'yayin, let's say the blood of the carbon gets mixed in wine. So then, royin oisikilu mayim, you view that wine, although it's red too and you can't tell, you view it in that quantity. Had it been water, would it be recognizable, that blood? Then that's when it's still kasher as for zrika zadam. Now, nesar b'dam behema, if let's say it gets mixed with the blood of a behema of chulin, or in the blood of any wild animal, which is always chulin, because we don't bring any karbanas from chaya, so then royin oisai, so then we see that invalid blood, which is not from that of the carbon, ki'iluhu mayim, as if it was water, and if the blood of that which is kasher which is from the carbon, would be recognizable. Again, then it's still kosher to do zrika with it. Here too, as in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, ein dam mevatel dam, blood does not nullify blood, and therefore, even if you wouldn't recognize that, it wouldn't have the appearance of the color of the blood that's chayiv, you're still obligated, it still has halacha that's being kosher b'zrikas adam. Now, on that Mishnah, Amr B'chiyah Barabba, Amr B'yichanon, he says, Leishanu, we didn't learn this halacha, Ela shenaflu mayim l'teich dam. Only if it was water that fell into the blood in that way, in that sequence. So therefore, every single drop of water that fell into the blood was nullified, and therefore, as long as you didn't yet lose the color of blood, it's still going to be kosher, because it still maintained its entity of being blood that's kosher b'zrikas adam. But let's say it was the other way around. Let's say it was the blood that was dripping into the water, then rishon batel, then every drop of blood that's falling in was nullified, because you have water, blood dropping in, you don't have the color of blood. So even if the blood ends up dropping so much that then it has the color, but it was already batel, it was already what's called dichli, it was already rejected from being blood, and then it won't be what's called chayzim and air, then go back and say, oh, now it has the appearance. It was already nullified from that ability, and you're never going to be able to go ahead, even according to the opinion that holds that it's not going to be nullified. It doesn't help. It's not going to be able to be utilized as the zrika of the dam for the carbon. However, Amra Papa, he contrasts it with halacha of our Mishnah. But regarding the halacha of covering the blood, that's not like that, where even if you have the blood dripping into the water, there would be an obligation to cover that blood, because even though, as we said, that as every drop of blood was falling in, it got rejected from being utilized because it doesn't have the color of blood anymore, and it's bottled in the water, even so, when it finally increases the quantity of the blood until it changes the color of the water to the color of blood, then the blood, which was batel, gets reawakened, so to speak, and then it gets back considered to be blood. And we don't say, oh, once it's rejected, it's rejected. And this is the concept we said on Oman Aleph from the previous Mishnah, because ein tiche etzel mitzvahs, we don't say the halacha rejection by mitzvahs. Their mesecht zvachim is kachim is rejected. And therefore it has to be only when the water is dripping into the blood that we said that halacha, and if it still maintained its color, it's still give me kashya bezrika. But in our Mishnah, it's even if it's going to be the blood dripping into the water, when it finally does retake that color again, it's going to be chayiv, because you don't say dicha by mitzvahs. Continuing on the halacha of our Mishnah, and on the Mishnah Masech Tzvachim, Amr Yehuda Mishmol, says, kol, as long as there is in the blood, a mara ad mumis, a red color, so it's considered blood for the following three halachas. That is mechaprin, as we said in the Mishnah Masech Tzvachim, you could atone with that blood to spray it on the mizbeach. Umachshirin, it also will prepare food items to be susceptible to tumma, which is only if it comes in contact with one of seven liquids, which blood is one of them, which Gemara is going to surely ask, well, what's the difference? Even if it was not considered blood, but rather water, the water is also one of the seven liquids that makes a food item susceptible to tumma. But that's Rav Yehuda Mishmol's halacha. And the third one is v'chayavim b'kisui. And as long as it still has the color, the red color, it would, even though it's mixed with water, it would still be obligated in the midst of kisui adam. Now, says the Gemara, Ma'akam Hashmolam, what is Rav Yehuda Mishmol teaching us? Mechaprin tanino. Regarding the halacha that you could still use it to atone, that's the Mishnah Masech Tzvachim. Chayavim b'kisui regarding covering the blood, tanino, that's our Mishnah. So what's he teaching us? Says Gemara, Machshirin Yitzchukalei. It was the other halacha, the third one, regarding that it prepares food items to become susceptible to tumah. That's what Rav Yehuda Mishmol was teaching. As long as it still has a red color, it's still considered blood, which is one of the seven liquids that could be machshir a zera, a food item for tumah. Says Gemara, but Machshirin Ami, what's he teaching us regarding making a food item susceptible to tumah? Idam, if it's blood, achshiri machshir, that itself will prepare it. But imaya, even if it's water, achshiri machshir, that will also prepare it. So what's the chiddush in this halacha? Oh, if it still has a red color, it'll be machshir. What do you mean? Whether red color or not, blood or water, either one's going to be machshir. What's he teaching us? He says, Gemara, loy tzricha, no, is necessary in the case where shetimdui, where it got mixed, this blood, b'mei gesham, with rainwater, where that will not be machshir, will not make a food item susceptible to tumah, only where he had in mind that he wants that rainwater to go down on his produce. And therefore, that's not automatically going to be machshir, this is ram for tumah. However, over here, because he's saying it's still considered blood if it has a red color, which is automatically a liquid, even when he does not intend for it to go on his produce, it's going to make the food item susceptible to tumah. As the Mishnah teaches in the beginning of Masechet Machshirin, that any liquid that initially is considered l'ratzon that a person wants, where it's considered significant for something, even if he doesn't want it on the end, it's going to be machshered. And that's the case that we're describing, that the water there of rainwater would not automatically be prepared, and therefore has to be only because of, he's saying that because it's still considered blood, because it still has a red color. Says Gemara, but Megisham Nami, why? Even if the water is rainwater, Kivin the Shakal, but you're saying that it's mixed with the blood. How to get mixed in? Since he took with a vessel, Virame, and he placed it into the blood, Akshavinu, by mixing into the blood, he already made it considered for that he wants to have utility for it. He already wants it, he already desires it. So that already will make a food item susceptible to tumah because he wanted that liquid. So even rainwater then should be machshir. So why is it dependent on this halacha of, because it has the color of red to be considered like blood? So no, the case he's talking about, Shenitmanu Ba'alehen. It got mixed with the rainwater by itself. He didn't pick up the rainwater and mix it with the blood. The blood was there and the rainwater got mixed with it and therefore happened by itself and he was not machshavit and therefore the rainwater itself would not be. It's only because it's considered blood, as we said, because of the color of red. That's one approach. However, Reb Asi Ben Arbil, I mean, he gives a different interpretation. What is it that Reb Yehuda Mishmul is teaching us in regards to the halacha of that it's considered blood to be machshir if water itself would do it? He says, "Bitzlalas adadama." He's talking about the clear part of the blood, meaning when we said that it's mixed with water, it's the water from the blood itself. When blood congeals, so the real red part congeals into a solid, and then there's that clear liquidy water type that's around from the blood itself. That's what Rebbe Mishmul is teaching us, that in that clear part, if it still has a color of blood, it will make food items susceptible to tumah, but if not, then it won't. So it wasn't talking about blood mixed with water, because yeah, either one should be metame. We're talking about the watery part of blood. It's not going to be considered blood to be one of those seven liquids, but it's not water either. It's saying if that watery part has the color of blood, then it will be considered as blood to be machshir zrum. Now, moreover, on this halacha, Rabbi Yimri Medifti Amri says, Anish Karas. If someone eats that liquidy part of blood, he's going to be punishable for Karas, Vuhudik Exais. As long as there is an olive size amount from full-fledged blood in that liquidy part of the blood, that watery part, it's going to be considered blood to be Chayiv Karas as one who consumes blood. Moreover, b'masnitatan, in the Braisa we learned, mitamid ba'ayil. It will transmit tumah for someone who's in the same tent, as long as there is the color of blood in it, if it's coming from a dead person. Now, says the Gemara, b'hud ikar revius. But this is only if there's at least a revius of a leg, a full-fledged blood, in that liquidy part of the blood, which that's the minimum measurement of contaminating an oil, as the pasuk says by min bavav, al nefesh meis, the tumah of oil applies, whereas there is the soul of the dead person, and the amount of a revius is the amount that the soul depends on. It cannot survive less than a revius of a leg, and therefore that's the amount of what's called nefesh meis, which would be metame in the oil. Now, once we introduce this, the Gemara goes and it quotes the whole brais, part the part of the brais at Tanhas, we learned over there, which was referring to the brais we just quoted, which says, first it says, halacha kol mashke hames, all the liquids of a dead person, for example, the tears from his eyes and the milk from a woman, tahirin, they don't have the tumah of mess, they're pure. Chutz midam, except the blood, like we said, the blood of a mess is going to be metame. Moreover, v'chayil, and any part of that blood, which is even this clear liquidy, the watery part of the blood, as long as there's mara admum shabai, as long as it still has a color of red in it, metame ba'ayil, it's going to contaminate, as we quoted from the Braisa before, if a person's in the same oil as revius of that person. Now, ask the Gemara regarding the first halacha that we just quoted from the Braisa. Umashka meis tahirin, is that really so that all other liquids that come out of a dead person are tar besides his blood? But Ramina, that seems to be contradicted from the Mishnah Maseftes Tful Yom. Mishnah says, Mashke Tful Yom, those liquids which come out of a person that's a Tful Yom is someone who is tummy. However, he already immersed himself that day. However, he's not considered totally tar yet until sundown, at least in regards to certain halachas. And so therefore, he has a lighter type of a tumah, because let's say for Meiser, he's allowed to already consume once he immersed. So he's a tefulium, he already immersed that day, but he's waiting for sundown. Says the Mishnah, Kemashkin Shenegebehen, he has the same halacha as the liquids that he touches. Those liquids which come out of him, like his tears, have the same halacha as the liquids that he touches, which has the Gemara contained on top of Pechasim and Aleph, Ve'ilu Ve'ilu Imetamin. And both those liquids that he touches and that come out of him, they're not metame. because the Rabbanon were not, they didn't decree tuma on those liquids that come out of a tefil yom, because he's not such a severe type of a tuma. Now, however, continues the Mishnah, Ushaar kol tamein, but all other people that are tummy, being kalam bin chamurin, whether lighter types of tumas, whether more severe types of tumas, that person that's tummy, mashkin hayoitzimahen, the liquids that come out of them, rabbinically, are kamashkan nageyabahen, will have the same as the biblical halacha as liquids that they touch, which is ve'ilu ve'ilu tchila, that both of those liquids will have a halacha as what's called a tchila. A tchila is a rishon l'tuma, which is the person that's tummy is what's called an avatuma. He's a high level of tuma, as a source of tuma. What he touches becomes a first level, which is called a rishon of first degree, which then contaminates something which goes on to sheni, and then the thing makes something else to shlishi. Which the halacha, why what he touches is considered a rishon, is because even if someone is a sheni l'tuma, when it touches liquids, it makes it into a rishon l'tuma. As the Mishnah teaches, we had this in Daf Lamed Aleph Manav, whatever invalidates truma, which is a sheni, because a truma could become a shlishi, will contaminate liquids and make it into a rishon, except for, like we just quoted, a tevul yom, where what he touches, and therefore also what comes out of him, is not going to become tummy. Now, says the Mishnah, there is, however, an exception to this rule, that there are certain liquids which are not a rishon, but actually those liquids are actually going to be an avatuma. For example, like there's three liquids that are pooled in the person's body of a zav, which are counted in Masechtas Nidan of Nandal Mabez, which actually those liquids are actually an avatuma. And therefore they're actually going to contaminate people and vessels which only can become tummy from an avatuma, not from a rishon l'tuma. And they are the ziva, which is type of an emission that comes out of the male member, and the spit, and the urine of a zav, or the semen of any person. Now, the reason why these are avatuma, as the Gemara learns out, from the spit of a person. The pasuk says, "V'yukatezvav v'chiyarek hazav." If the zav will spit, then it has the tuma as the zav himself, which is avatuma. Now, why are we picking specifically spit? It's because spittle is something that gathers together in the person's body and then it's expelled from the person's body. So to whatever gathers and goes out, which includes a person's urine, these are things that gather in the body before they are taken out of the body. In contrast, other liquids that come out of him, which, as we said, mashkna yitzimhen, they're not an avatuma, because they don't gather first in the body and go out like the spit. Rather, the tears of the eye of a person, or the blood of a wound, or the milk of a woman, they just come out, and therefore they're just considered kamashkin anegehen, which rabbinically we consider as a rishon l'tuma, but again, they're not going to have the halacha as an avatuma, as the spit, and the urine, and the shechva zera of a man. Now, that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, now, my kal no my chamurin, what did it say that, besides its full yom, all the other people that are tummy, whether they're less severe or more severe, the liquids that come out of them will have halacha of a rishon l'tuma. My lav, isn't it toma? The kalin, the lesser severe tumas, was referring to, let's say, a sheretz. The urine of a dead sheretz, which is mitame, that's found in the bladder of that sheretz, or vizav, or that of a zav, which are the liquids that just come out of him, besides those which we said are avatuma. And that's the kalin. And what's v'chamur? What's a severe level of tumah? That's a mess. A mess is a very severe type of tumah because he's considered an avi avos. He's considered a grandfather of tumah, which what touches him actually becomes an av, which is the most severe type. So you see that a mess, the mashkin hayoyitz mehen, are going to be considered tchila a rishon l'tumah. That contradicts the halacha that we brought before, which the Braisa said that the mashkin that come out of a mess, besides the dam, is tar. Here we see that it's tummy. Says Gemara Loi, no, it's not contradicted. Because when the Mishnah Tefil Yoyim says Kalin, the less severe tumas, that's referring to the sheretz, and which is not such a severe type of a tumah. But Chamurin and the severe ones, that's referring to the Zav, because a Zav is more severe, that it has tumas Mishkev and Mishkev, in contrast to the tumah of a sheretz. But really, the liquids that come out of a dead person, his tears and the milk from the woman, are tar, except for the blood, like we said, which that will biblically be mitami, as the Pasuk says, Al Nefesh Meis, which refers to what the soul is dependent on, which is Revius of Dam. But then the Gemara asked on this halacha, okay, fine, so we resolve the contradiction. But Maishno Zav, the Gazabe Rabbanon, why is a Zav different? That the Rabbanon made the halacha initially of making the liquids that come out of him, which are not an avatama, like those which are pulled together and gathered together. All those other liquids that come out of him, we consider as a rishon l'tuma. Maishno Mei, still a Gazabe Rabbanon. Why didn't the Rabbanon make the liquids that come out of a mess, like that which touches a mess, just like they're saying for a Zav, what comes out from him is like that which he touches? So the Gemara, the reason for this is because Azav, since he's a regular living person, he just has this type of tumah coming out of his male member, the loy bedili in shemineh. People don't stay away from a person. He looks like a very respectable, regular type of person. And moreover, it's not recognizable. No one knows that he has this tumah of zebra that's going on underneath. So gazer b'rabban, v'yeder rabban v'gazer, that even the liquids that come out of him should have the halacha like that which he touches, so that people stay away from him. Mace the bedili in shemineh, but a dead person, very recognizable, and people are not just hanging around a dead person, that people stay away. Look, Azabir Abund, Vidar Abund didn't have to make this decree to make that the liquids that come out of him should be like that which is like the liquids that touch him, and that's why we didn't make the rabbinic decree. But again, that resolved the contradiction, like the Braisa says, that Kol Mashka HaMeis is going to be tyrant, Chutz Midame, except for the blood of a mess.